Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Glad to be here for this one.
So to start off today, I want you to imagine a massive symphony orchestra.
Okay, a symphony.
Right, so we are talking hundreds of musicians, and they're all playing together in what should be a perfectly coordinated performance. But as you sit there and listen, you notice this really profound dissonance.
Like something is just deeply wrong with the music.
Exactly. The whole acoustic structure of the performance is fundamentally altered. Now, you wouldn't diagnose the problem by just looking at the conductor.
No, of course not. You'd have to get in there and isolate the specific chairs.
Yeah, you have to find the individual broken instruments to see exactly which structural flaws are throwing the entire piece into disarray.
And you know, that challenge amplifies immensely when that symphony is the human brain. And the resulting dissonance manifests as schizophrenia. I mean, it is a highly complex syndrome, and it's defined by these profound disruptions to cognition, perception, and behavior.
Which is why we're doing this deep dive today. Because for decades, we've relied on antipsychotic medications, but, well, they often fail to adequately resolve the core cognitive symptoms.
Yeah, because they are essentially blunt instruments. They target these broad receptor networks rather than the root etiology, the actual broken strings in the orchestra, so to speak.
Right, which makes isolating the exact genetic typos driving the disorder so critical. Because if we can map the specific molecular instruments causing the dissonance, we fundamentally shift how we approach the biology of the condition. We move from just, you know, symptom management to targeted mechanism-based interventions.
And that underlying goal brings us to some truly sophisticated work in psychiatric genetics that we are dissecting today.
Yes, it does. So today we celebrate the work of researchers at Cardiff University, including Sophie Ilchik, Elliot Rees, and their collaborators, who have advanced our understanding of the genetic architecture of schizophrenia.
It's an incredible body of work.
It really is. This was published in 2025 in Nature Communications. But to really appreciate the magnitude of what this team found, we first have to explain the puzzle they were trying to solve.
Right, the statistical wall the field had hit. So schizophrenia is highly polygenic. That means thousands of genetic variations contribute to it.
Right.
Now, common genetic variants explain about 24% of the risk.
Okay, 24%. But wait, hold on. If common variants explain 24% of the risk, why are scientists hunting so hard for these rare variants? I think they only explain about 5% of the liability, right?
Yeah, ultra-rare coding variants and copy number variants explain about 5%.
So why invest so much time and money hunting down a measly 5% when you have 24% sitting right there?
It's a great question. It seems counterintuitive until you look at the biological clarity those variants provide.
What do you mean by clarity?
Well, the common variants are diffuse. They create a sort of background risk profile, mostly sitting in non-coding regions, so they're notoriously hard to map to specific causative genes. But the rare variants, they act differently.
How so?
They are concentrated in a network of roughly 3,000 highly constrained genes.
Constrained, meaning?
Meaning they are incredibly intolerant to mutations. Evolution actively protects these genes. So if a mutation does happen here, it has a massive direct effect. It points directly to specific causal genes and disease mechanisms in a way that common variants just do not.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like finding a smoking gun instead of just circumstantial evidence.
Exactly. Previous landmark research, like the Schema study, had already started this, but they only found 12 genes at an exome-wide level of certainty.
And 12 genes just isn't enough to understand the whole network.
Right, we needed more. But the problem wasn't the science, it was the statistical power. You simply cannot find these ultra-rare typos with a small group of people.
So how do you find them? I mean, you'd need a monstrously large library of genomes.
You really do, and that is where the Cardiff team came in. They generated whole exome sequencing data for a completely new sample.
How big was the new sample?
We're talking 4,650 cases and 5,719 controls.
Just for this one study?
Yep. And then they meta-analyzed this with the published data from that earlier Schema study.
Okay, so they combined everything. What does the final math look like on that?
It is staggering. It makes this the largest whole exome sequencing meta-analysis of schizophrenia to date. The total comes out to 28,898 cases.
Wow.
103,041 controls, and 3,444 proband parent trios.
That is almost 130,000 genomes. For you listening, imagine trying to proofread millions of books just to find a specific missing letter. That's essentially what they did.
Yeah, and they were specifically hunting for two types of typos. First, protein truncating variants, or PTVs.
And those are the mutations that prematurely stop protein production, right? Like a sentence that just ends.
Exactly, abruptly stops. The protein is just severely truncated and non-functional. The second type they looked for were damaging missense variants.
Missense variants. So that's where a single wrong amino acid is swapped in. The protein gets built, but it has a bad part.
Right. And to figure out how bad that part is, they scored it using an MPC metric. It basically measures the badness of the missense variant, prioritizing mutations that disrupt really important, highly conserved regions.
Okay, so this massive proofreading effort with almost 130,000 genomes, did it pay off? Let's get to the newly discovered genetic culprits.
It absolutely paid off. Two novel RISC genes hit the absolute gold standard of exome-wide significance.
And those are?
SEVAGE1 and ZNF136.
Nice. Now, weren't those on the radar before?
They were. They were highly suspected in the earlier data, but this new massive data set finally pushed them over the statistical finish line.
That's incredible. And I know there was a supporting cast of genes too, right?
Yes. The increased sample size identified 6 additional genes at a false discovery rate of less than 5%.
Let me guess, a bunch of random letters and numbers.
You know it. We've got SLC6A1, PCLO, ZMYND11, BSCL2, KLC1, and CGREF1.
Okay, I want to point out something fascinating from the data regarding two of those. Mm-hmm. For SLC6A1 and KLC1, the association was driven entirely by those missense variants we talked about, not by the protein completely truncating.
Right.
It's not about the protein disappearing, it's about it being built slightly wrong.
Exactly. It might preserve the overall protein, but disrupt a vital interaction domain. It really highlights how delicate these cellular pathways are.
So knowing the names of the genes is just the start. What do these genes actually build or break in the brain? Let's unpack the biology, starting with STEG1.
So STEG1 encodes a subunit of cohesin.
Cohesin.
Right, which is required for 3D genome organization. It basically extrudes loops of DNA to form topologically associating domains, or TADs.
Okay, so think of it like molecular origami. If the DNA isn't folded correctly, if the cohesin complex is compromised by a typo in STEG1, the final 3D shape is ruined.
Exactly.
Meaning genes are turned on or off at the wrong times because they are physically in the wrong spot. This directly points to disrupted chromatin organization as a root cause of schizophrenia.
It's profound, isn't it? We aren't just talking about a chemical imbalance. We're talking about the physical 3D architecture of the genome being altered.
What about ZNF136? That was the other big one.
Yeah, so ZNF136 encodes a transcriptional repressor. But here's the weird part. Unlike almost every other schizophrenia risk gene, it shows no evolutionary constraint against protein truncating variants.
Wait, really? No constraint? But you said earlier that genes causing severe disorders are usually highly constrained because evolution weeds out the mutations.
Exactly. It is a huge scientific mystery. Why is this repressor gene an exception? Maybe its function is buffered by other proteins, or maybe the severe effects only show up under certain environmental stressors we just don't know yet.
That is wild. Okay, let's look at SLC6A1. The one driven by those missense variants.
So this one encodes a GABA transporter, specifically JTOR1.
And GABA is a neurotransmitter.
Right, the main inhibitory one in the brain. The missense variants in this gene cause haploinsufficiency, which basically means reduced GABA uptake at the inhibitory synapses.
So the chemical signaling is perturbed, the brakes in the brain aren't working, right?
Exactly. It anchors that old theory about perturbed GABAergic signaling to hard exomic data. But and this is important. Several of these genes are also linked to other disorders.
Oh, like pleiotropy.
Yeah. For example, SLC6A1 is also strongly implicated in autism spectrum disorder, developmental disorders, and epilepsy. And STAG1 is tied to developmental disorders too.
Wait, hold on. If the exact same gene causes epilepsy, autism, and schizophrenia?
Yeah.
Does that mean these diseases are the same thing? Are we just giving different names to the same biological problem?
No, not at all. And that's where we have to be really precise. It's about different variants within that exact same gene having entirely distinct functional effects.
Oh, so it depends on where the typo is.
Exactly. A severe truncating mutation that completely kills the transporter might cause early onset epilepsy. But a milder missense typo that only slightly reduces efficiency, that might subtly change brain networks and contribute to schizophrenia much later in life.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. The specific nature of the perturbation dictates the trajectory of the disorder.
Precisely. And there's another really exciting piece to this. STAG1 and KLC1 physically overlap with genomic regions that were previously identified in common variant studies.
The GWS studies.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Because that overlap is the holy grail. It bridges the rare high-impact mutations with the common low-impact signals in the broader population. It makes these genes perfect targets for developing future cellular and animal models.
Because if you study the rare severe mutation in a lab model, you're essentially studying a magnified version of the exact same pathway that affects the general population.
You hit the nail on the head.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
But I imagine there are some limitations to a study like this, right? Even with 130,000 genomes.
Unfortunately, yes. The biggest issue is that the study lacked deep longitudinal clinical data.
Meaning they had the genetics, but not the detailed patient histories.
Right. We have the genetic architecture, but we cannot yet link these specific genes to specific patient symptoms. We don't know if a STAG1 mutation correlates with negative symptoms or cognitive deficits or whatever else.
Which is what you'd need for true precision medicine.
Exactly. And the other major limitation is diversity. The vast majority of these genetic samples were from individuals of European ancestry.
Oh yeah, that's a persistent problem in genomic studies.
It really is. The study highlights a desperate need for more diverse non-European genetic samples to ensure equitable progress in precision psychiatry. You can't fully map the global landscape of a disorder if you are only looking at one demographic.
So true. We need the whole picture. Well, stepping back from the molecular origami and the GABA transporters, let's look at the big picture for you listening today.
Yeah, let's synthesize this.
The largest exome sequencing study to date successfully utilized nearly 130,000 genomes to definitively pin down new risk genes for schizophrenia. By identifying genes like STAG1 and SLC6A1, scientists now have concrete evidence that the physical 3D folding of DNA and the chemical signaling in our brains are critical pathways in the development of the disorder.
What does this mean for the future of psychiatric medicine if we can start treating the specific genetic folding errors instead of just the psychological symptoms?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base. Thank you.
2.